Chapter 1. June 14th, 1799. Number 22 Charles Street, London residence of the Dibbleshires.
Lady Zenobia, I adore you!
Lord Dibbleshire's brow was beaded with sweat, and his hands were trembling.
In vain have I struggled, but I can no longer contain my ardent feelings. I must reveal to you, no, enlighten you about the depths of my emotion.
India managed not to step back, but it took an effort. She tried to summon up a perfect smile, kind but not encouraging, though she wasn't positive that smile even existed. Whatever she came up with would be better than an utterly inappropriate shriek of,
"Bloody hell, not again!"
Daughters of marquises, even deceased and arguably mad marquises, did not shriek, more's the pity. The smile didn't seem to work, so she trotted out her standard answer.
"You do me too much honour, Lord Dibbleshire, but..."
"I know," he responded, rather unexpectedly. Then he frowned.
"I mean, no. No honour is too great for you. I have fought against my better judgment, and while I realise that there are those who consider your reputation to be sullied by your profession, I know the truth. The truth shall prevail."
Well, that was something. But before India could comment on the truth, or lack thereof, he toppled onto his knees.
"I will marry you, Lady Zenobia India St. Clair," he bellowed,
widening his eyes to indicate his own shock at this declaration.
"I, Baron Dibbleshire, will marry you."
"Please do get up," she said, resisting the urge to groan.
"I know that you will refuse me, owing to your inestimable modesty, but I have made up my mind, Lady Zenobia. The protection of my title, and of course yours as well, will overcome the ill effects of your unfortunate occupation. A plight to which you were driven, a point I shall make early and often. The Ton will accept us. They will accept you, once you have the benefit of becoming Baroness Dibbleshire."
Aggravation marched up her spine like a troop of perfectly dressed soldiers. True, her reputation was tarnished by the fact that she refused to stay home practicing her needlework. But as she was the daughter of a marquis, technically, a Dibbleshire would be lucky to dance with her. Not that she cared about such things. Still, her godmother accompanied her everywhere. Even now, Lady Adelaide Swift was likely within earshot, and if nothing else, Adelaide's chaperonage had ensured that India remain as pure as the driven snow, despite her unfortunate occupation. Who would have guessed that taking on the task of ordering people's lives would have tarnished her lily-white wings? At that moment, the door to the sitting room opened, and her suitor's mother appeared. India's head began to pound. She never should have agreed to Lady Dibbleshire's plea that India refurbish her drawing room, no matter how interesting a challenge it was to strip the room of its Egyptian furnishings.
"Howard, what in heaven's name are you doing?"
the lady demanded, making the whole situation even more farcical than it already was. Dibbleshire sprang to his feet with surprising ease, inasmuch as his centre of gravity was quite low slung and hung over his breeches.
"I have just informed Lady Zenobia that I love her, and she has agreed to become my wife."
India's eyes were met, thankfully, by a gleam of sympathy in Lady Dibbleshire's.
"His lordship has misunderstood," India told her.
"Alas, I have no doubt of that. Child,"
Howard's mother said,
"every time I think that you have demonstrated the depths of your similarity to your father, you astonish me yet again."
Dibbleshire scowled and looked, spaniel-like, back to India.
"I will not allow you to refuse me.
I haven't slept for 2 nights, unable to think of anything but you. I have made up my mind to rescue you from your life of drudgery.
He reached out his hand, and India nimbly stepped back.
Lord Dibbleshire,
you move from house to house, ceaselessly working.
His pale blue eyes gazed at her with devotion.
Dear Lord Howard,
Lady Dibbleshire exclaimed,
if our estate is ever lost, I am happy to think that you will be able to support us by making a living on the stage. However, it is my duty as a mother to point out that you are being rather vulgar.